Need a new set of optics? For more than a decade, Riton Optics has been providing optic solutions for hunters and shooters of all types and disciplines. Check out their Primal line for those products geared more towards us hunters. From binoculars and spotting scopes to your basic 3-9 scopes and longer range crossover models, the Primal line from Riton was made for hunters. Learn more at RitonOptics.com. That's Riton, R-I-T-O-N, Optics.com.
Where to Hunt podcast. It's okay.
Hi, I'm Dan Small, host of Outdoor Wisconsin, and I listen to Where to Hunt.
Man, it's okay.
I'm Kurt Geyer with Working Class Bow Hunter. I listen to Where to Hunt podcast, and it's decent.
It's all right.
Hey, this is Bud Fisher with Catching Deers, and I think the Where to Hunt podcast is
all right. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Where to Hunt podcast, the podcast that connects public land hunting enthusiasts. Today is Tuesday, July 20th, and if you're from Wisconsin, go Bucks. I'm sure zero people are watching from Wisconsin because the Bucks game is about to go down. Bucks in six, I think, is the hashtag. And I know a lot of folks that are down in Deer District tonight. So if you're watching, you're probably not from here or you don't care about the NBA at all. I think it's cool that the Bucks are winning, but I normally wouldn't watch. There, I've said it. Greg is busy tonight, but we'll be back actually in studio again tomorrow on Wednesday with a special guest in studio. So stay tuned for that. And shout out to our sponsors. I'll go ahead and play some ads. It's been a minute since I did an ad, so let's hear what we got here.
Whether you're at work, in a tree stand, or simply waking up, it's important to be alert. There's no better way to get there than with Backwoods Grind Coffee. Ground fresh for every order, delivered straight to your door. Backwoods Grind Coffee.
And you guys see me pouring up the drop time spirit, so that's good stuff. And coming at you out of the OKS Hunter podcast studio, here in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Head over to OKSHunter.com. Enter in code W2HPODCAST for 10% off. Before I forget to save the discount code for Backwoods Grind, that code is W2HPODCAST for also 10% off. Shout out to Spartan Forge. Lots coming from them very, very soon. If you're not paying attention, I highly encourage you to go check those guys out. Not only are they doing deer predictability in terms of when a deer is going to be on hoof and how it's going to negotiate and traverse certain pieces of terrain and property, there's a lot more features in there that are showing historical weather data. Everything's kind of baked right into one spot. So head on over there and you can use code W2H for 20% off. That's a lot of percent off. That's the most percent off that we give to anybody from any of the sponsors that we work with. And also shout out to Latitude Outdoors. If you haven't noticed, Greg and I are outfitted with the Latitude Outdoor Method 2 saddle. So we're going to be giving them a good try this season as another tool in our tool belt, so to speak. I'm going to go exclusively saddle. Greg's probably going to do a little bit of both. We'll keep you guys posted on how that all goes. But so far, the results are in and that thing is comfortable. The two-piece system is really kind of pretty great. It's really easy to use too. So I think I covered everybody here, right? Yeah. Spartan Forge, Backwoods, Drop Time, Cheers. Okay, as Hunter, that's what we got. Let's go ahead and bring our guest on for the night. All right. Chase Turner is with us tonight, live on the show. What's going on, Chase?
What's up, man?
Oh, you know, we're just hanging out here. You are in, let me see if I can get this right, Dawsonville, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
And I think you came across us on, was it TikTok?
Yeah, I think we crossed on there. And then I think I had already followed you on Instagram. And then I think you followed me on TikTok. And I followed you back there. And then you followed me back on Instagram. So we kind of flip-flopped, I think.
Dude, social media is pretty freaking cool, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've been doing this since 2013. And back when I would ask people to be on the show, they'd be like, what's a podcast? Do I have to, like...
Yeah.
No one knew even how it worked. Now it's like pretty saturated, right? But social media is like really blown up all over the place. So everyone's everywhere and you get pockets of people. I was surprised to see how many hunters were actually on TikTok. Tons of them.
Yeah. Yeah. If they just let you post a little bit more, it'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Anything with like, I've noticed if I actually have my, like if I'm actually shooting my bow, they don't post that. I'm like, well, why? There's nothing happening here. It's confusing.
I've been banned twice from it.
Really? What did they ban you for the two times?
the first time was shooting a bow, and then the second time was I was toting a turkey out on my back, and
they don't like it either.
For 30 days for the turkey.
So strange. So they ban you from actually even getting on the app, or like from even post, or from just posting?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was supposed to be permanent or whatever, but it said I could submit an appeal, so I did. I raised a little hell with them, and then 30 days later, I got my. I could post again, I guess, but I was just like pretty much done with it then. I mean, I still post on there now, but at the time, I was just like, the hell with this. Like,
that's what happened to me. The first video I posted was me shooting my bow in slow motion at a target on a 3D range, and then I was like, wait, this never actually made anybody except everyone back in there. I was like, what the hell. I thought maybe I just did something wrong. I'm like, no, they actually don't want this video on here. What the? Like, what?
Yeah,
whatever.
Pisses me off.
Interesting. You got to get creative. Sorry. So we had someone just mention there in Wisconsin. I was mentioning all the deer district, Milwaukee Bucks stuff. Wisconsin here don't care. Right there with you, Corey. Don't let my father-in-law hear that. He's a huge fan. He'd be like, what? You're not watching the game? Maybe later. So tell us about yourself, man. Like, what do you all got going on? I know you're also running a page, FamTrad Media. Your page is looking pretty cool, at least on Instagram, and you're doing some suburban hunting. But as we'll talk here, we're going to talk about the transition you're going to take from suburban hunting to just overall public land hunting. So maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Like, how long you been hunting? What are you into and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so I grew up all around it, I guess. My dad and my grandpa, they was huge into it, always hunting and stuff like that. And then obviously they brought me into it, and I just kind of fell in love with it. I'd say more than them, I guess. I kind of shot my first few deer and stuff like that, and I shot a turkey. I just kind of led into it like most people do, you know. But then my dad, probably around high school, I guess, coming up in high school, I wanted to start coon hunting or whatever, and he used to with dogs and everything. Well, he got out of it. Well, I wanted to get into it, so we did. Well, when we got into coon hunting, I didn't really care for it, but it got him back into that and out of deer hunting. So I screwed myself on that. So he doesn't really deer hunt a whole lot anymore, but I kind of took off with it. And then, I don't know, I started filming some of my hunts back in the day as just screwing off, really, just kind of. And then I started editing a little bit, just making cool little edits, putting some music in them, and nothing too crazy. And I don't know, I just kind of fell in love with doing that kind of stuff, so I took off with it. And just I don't know, just anytime we'd step in the woods, really, I'd take a camera with us. And ever since then, since we was in high school, I guess, we've just kind of filmed everything. And then I took a kind of break off of it last year just because I didn't have that great of equipment and everything. And then this year I bought everything new, new computer, new camera, new everything. Anything you could buy to do it with, I bought everything new.
What do you shoot for cameras?
This year I bought the Nikon Z50 mirrorless. It's just, it's a pretty nice camera for what we do. You know, we're not no professionals or anything like that, but I'm actually talking to another guy talking about getting a different camera. I don't know if it'll pan out or not, but we'll see. But for right now, I mean, what I have is plenty good for what we're doing, you know, just hanging out. But that's why I started the whole FamTrad thing, which is kind of just, it's going to be mainly, a bunch of people think it's going to be like a hunting page, like a group of guys and going out here and hunting and all this, but it's more of like a, say you kill or you got a deer you want to hunt or whatever, and you think you're going to shoot him this week, you can invite me, I can come hunt with you, I'll come film for a small price or whatever, you know, something like that. And then also I just make our own little edits and just cool little TikToks and stuff like that, just entertainment type stuff, you know, nothing. And then on my,
this as a service, man, I like that, because for anyone that's tried their hand in self-filming or just doing anything, it's a lot of fucking work. It's lot of work, man. You got a lot to worry about. You got to worry about the camera getting wet, battery staying charged, mic being good, different, you know. Like, I always, it's hard enough for me to even hunt a deer. Now you got to make me put a camera on it. Like, it's just not going to go well for me. So that's pretty.
Yes. I don't know. I'm just going to kind of do something like that and see what it does. And it's going to be more than hunting too. I've done a dirt bike video the other day, just kind of stuff like that. Mainly going to be hunting, because that's what I like doing. But then I'm going to start a YouTube page a little bit closer to deer season. And then I'll post like actual like little episodes on there of our hunts and stuff like that and other people's hunts or whatever, you know. So
nice. I dig it.
Oh yeah, well, a little bit different, I guess.
No, I've not heard anyone doing that yet, you know. I'm sure they're out there, but I just haven't, it hasn't come across, you know, anything. Yeah. I'm doing, a lot of people are doing it for themselves, like you'd mentioned. But tell me more about, you know, your transition back into deer hunting. You know, why do we freaking love this shit so much? Like, what? What's going? It's an obsession. I told my wife, like, buck fever setting in early this year, sweetie. I'm already, it's not even August. I'm already totally, I saw a nice velvet buck off the highway. And I'm like, oh man, did you see that buck? She's like, oh my God, you scared the shit out of me. I was like, well, did you not see it? You know?
Yep. Usually when turkey season, about the last day, it's like my mind, it's almost like a light switch. It's kind of crazy to myself, honestly, because I think about it, I'm like, damn, like I was just obsessed with turkeys, like wasn't even thinking about deer. Now, to hell with the turkey, and now I'm looking forward to deer. You know, like I've had cameras out for a month and a half, 2 months now, I guess. I put them all, refreshing them all back up, so we've been checking them pretty hard, but I don't know. I'm just ate up with it, I guess. I don't know how to even explain it, honestly. I've tried to talk about it before, but I don't know. It's just something about being out there to me and just doing it, watching how they work, trying to figure them out, scouting, the whole nine yards. All of it to me is fun, not just shooting, you know.
And how big are the properties? So you're doing, you've been doing like suburban hunts. Like, how big are the properties that you're getting access to? How are you getting access to them? And kind of break that down for me. And the listeners, kind of how you're approaching all that based on where you're at.
Well, kind of to start with, my dad, he does like trucking and grading and stuff like that. So he was always kind of like working in neighborhoods and subdivisions and stuff like that. Well, when I was younger, probably like, I don't know, 13, 14, maybe a little bit older than that. I'd say 14, I guess. He got one little spot in like the backside of this neighborhood, not far from my house. And he's just all the time like, dude, I'm seeing deer like crazy over here. And he worked in Atlanta a lot too. And we always seen deer down there and stuff, but just never really thought about hunting. And I mean, we did, but just never did it. He didn't. Well, then he kind of started hunting that little patch of woods behind that house. And he ended up shooting a couple of pretty good deer back there, you know, and that's actually where I ended up shooting my first deer with a bow. And then we kept that spot for a little while. And I ended up shooting, I don't know, probably about a 120-inch 10-pointer back there one time with my bow a while back. And then that's just kind of like what got me started into it. And then I started kind of like, once I got older and got my driver's license and stuff like that, I could get out and venture, you know, and kind of find other spots of my own. So I started trying to do that, you know, just knocking on doors. I'd heard of people like writing letters and stuff like that, you know, trying to do work. Well, it was kind of crazy because the spot that he had down there, the guy ended up selling it, so he lost that spot. Well, we didn't get to hunt it for like 4 or 5 years because somebody else owned it. So when me and my buddy Levi, we got big into knocking on doors and trying to get permission and stuff like that. Well, it was like one of the first few doors we had knocked on. Well, we actually called her first, and then we went down there. But we called the lady that had ended up buying the house the second time, and we ended up – that was actually the first spot we got back. So that kind of like moved us back into it, you know. He's like, all right, we finally got like one yes. So this is okay. Kind of so
you called her first and then she agreed to have two strapping young men like come by to like what, check the place out and shit. Like, how'd that go?
So it was kind of cool, but kind of crazy at the same time. And it ended up not really working out for us, but this was a bigger plot of woods right here. This was like right at 40 acres, but it was in the backside of a little neighborhood that was packed, you know. I mean, there's houses everywhere. There wasn't a piece on the 40 acres you couldn't see a house on, you know. I mean, it was tight. There was a neighborhood all the way around it. It was just a long stretch, just a little funnel. But pretty much we told her, we was like, look, we can help you out down there, like cut grass, do whatever you need to do. And we'll just kind of help you out. And all we want in return is hunting permission. So she's like, all right, yeah, cool. So we're thinking, you know, like, go down there.
Cut grass is not cheap, by the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So we're like, all right, yeah, we'll go cut the grass. No big deal. So the first day we're there, she's like, well, you get done talking to her or whatever. She's like, yeah, y'all can hunt or whatever. And then she's like, you got a chainsaw? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you cut that tree for us. I was like, yeah. Well, she ended up being a single a single mom that lived in this big house down there. She's a real estate agent, and so that's all she was looking for, was somebody to help her. She didn't care if we hunted or not. So she was just like, yeah, you do all this. So she went on a rampage then. She was like, all right, these guys really like hunting here after the first few hunts. So we cut that tree down that time. And then we ended up fixing a fence. The whole property was fenced in. It used to be an old horse farm. So we ended up fixing the fence, doing all this. Well, then one day she's like wanting us to go put out real estate signs with her. We drove all over the country one day. And by the leave her like, dude, to hell with this. Like, we're not doing this anymore, you know? Because it got to the point where it was like every other weekend. We wouldn't even be able to hunt hardly because we was having to work with her all the time. And so she just kind of took advantage of it. Whatever, you know, it was still.
That's hilarious. I've not heard of it going the other direction. Like, she took advantage of you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, you said, do you like just, you know, odd jobs, yard work for someone that had a farm, you know, in town?
Mm-hmm.
He did good. He got some good bucks off the property. So it was like a good trade-off. He didn't mind helping an old lady that lived there. And yeah, he actually enjoyed helping her because it felt like intrinsically rewarding. And then he got to hunt too. So their trade-off was like, I'll help you in the summer months if I can hunt the fall months.
Yeah.
And so like when I'm hunting, I'm not helping because I can't, like, I'm going to be hunting. So maybe next time, right?
Yeah. We ended up hunting it for, I think, 2 years, I think is what it was. We killed a couple of decent deer off of it.
Okay.
After that, that was kind of closer to the house. And then I'm sure, have you seen the Seek One guys?
I do know the Seek One guys. Yeah. I mean, how do you not? They have like millions of views on their YouTube channel, right? They're big time.
When like all that happened, they kind of come out with their stuff, and then obviously everybody started focusing like on downtown Atlanta pretty much all the time down that way, which we was still like, I don't know, probably 45 minutes still above Atlanta. So we kind of just eased down just a little bit, just a couple of exits down the interstate. And we ended up getting a couple little spots down there, and then I got some through work and stuff like that. And then that's when I really started hunting that a lot, you know, hunting down tighter patches and stuff like that. Like, I went from hunting that one was 40 acres, and then the next, once we lost it, the next couple of spots I had was anywhere from like an acre and a half to like 5 acres. I mean, like really tight, really tight patches, you know.
So how do you slip into a spot like that without them knowing you're there, you know?
Well, that's kind of a pain with some of them, because some of them it's, you know, you may have a 2-acre patch, but the house is all the way in the back of it. So you're pretty much hunting in the front yard or something like that. Like, I got one spot where that, like, you pull down the driveway and you pretty much pull past my stand going to their house, and then you pull in and you got to walk back to your stand, but I can still see their house and everything. So it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. I try not to get like off in there with them, because they got like this bubble, I guess you'd call it, that you get inside of it and it kind of messes with them. I mean, you can tell it. I mean, you see them on the side of the road, and you have people all the time, it's like, you're hunting pets and stuff like that, and you're like, they're not pets. Like, I've hunted them and watched them and stuff like that, you know, and some of them do, you know, you can tell they get a little, I guess you'd call it friendly, I guess. But then the older mature deer, you know how it is. Obviously, they're not going to just kind of stand there and look at you. They're going to get the hell out of Dodge. But like I said, where I was going with that is kind of like that bubble. I try to just kind of stay not as close to the house as I can, because I don't like hunting like that really close to the house. I kind of like to get off in there a little bit, you know. But I don't know.
Yeah, you're getting permission from landowners that have a house, and you're finding some like trade with them, or maybe just permission, and you're hunting. Real, I mean, half acre's nothing, man.
Oh yeah,
nothing. Yeah,
some of them are really tight. Like, I had one last year that I got permission on, and then once I like walked in there and looked at it, I was just like, dude, I don't know about this. If I shoot one, it is 100%
right
else's property, and then I'm gonna have to go knock on their doors, and then it's just gonna keep going from there. And I never did hunt it. I ran a camera on it, like, just in case like something crazy showed up, you know, but nothing ever did. But
and people don't mind you putting cameras on their property and stuff too. I could imagine, like, yeah, if they're not into that lifestyle, they're probably not out there at all. What do they care?
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's one of the problems too. They're like, what? Like, you want to hunt here? Like, you can go to South Georgia. Like, why do you want to hunt my 2 acres why don't you go like everybody else does, like down to South Georgia and hunt these hunting clubs and stuff like that, like everybody else does. I'm like, well, you just don't really get it. You know, it's hard to explain. Then you got to go into the whole spiel with them, and they're just like looking at you.
Big ones are in your backyard, dude. I seen it. You're like, you just got to be like, come on, man.
Uh-huh.
No, there's big deer in the suburbs and the cities, man. That's what I see where I'm at by and large, because I'm not driving too far. And a little bit of driving I do to commute to work, which is a half hour one way, I'm glassing and looking over, you know, looking out the window at every field I can. And, yeah. You know, even where I live in my own subdivision, there's nice bucks wandering around here, but I can't go shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I could, I guess, right? Like I go ask, but yeah. It would be really like, oh yeah, these are all pretty small plots. So like, right, if I get one, it's going to run to 20 different people's freaking yards.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I imagine some people probably have a hard time with seeing blood squirting all over their freaking property. And some buck dying in their yard. I'm like, hey, I'm just going to grab this and put it in my truck. Like
the first one that I shot, like legit suburban deer hunting, I guess I would call it, is I shot him and he actually run two properties over, which wasn't 150 yards, maybe, if that, not even. And so I actually went to those people's house. And it's like, it's a big house. It's got a tennis court in the backyard, big pool, mansion. So I walk up and I'm like, get back to my truck after I've seen where he ran to. You know, I get back to my truck. And I'm like, all right, I got to put on like some decent clothes and get out of this camouflage. You know, so I just didn't have any other clothes. I had one t-shirt that was my work t-shirt. So I threw it on with camouflage pants, like drive over there to this house. I knock on the door. This lady comes out and you can tell she's like, what the hell? Hey, look, like I hunt so-and-so's backyard pretty much, and I've shot a deer over there, and you're on your property. I don't want him to die on your property, you know, and rot pretty much where I can't put the meat to use or anything like that. You know, I don't want him to go to waste on your property. You know, I was just wondering if you'd let me go in there and get him. She's like, yeah, that's no problem. Just make it quick. And I was like, oh my God, he's like 130-something inch 8-pointer.
You know, she doesn't care at all. Yeah, of course. She's like, whatever.
My biggest bow buck at the time, and I was a nervous wreck because I just knew she's gonna be like, hell no, and then I was gonna be like,
you know, I've had people on the show that have talked about stories like that, and they were on public land and it went on to someone's property, and they're like, nope. Like, who the hell does that? By the way, it's weird. And then that person in this particular case, they not only did they say no, they went and got that fucking thing mounted themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the glory in that? That's not your buck. That's weird, man. I would never do that. I don't understand.
Yeah. But it ended up
right. Sorry, anyway, I digress.
And I went back. I think it was a couple of days later. I took him a Longhorns gift card. And I was like, look, I got you this gift card. You and your husband can go get you something nice to eat. Long story short, like, by the way, can you care if I hunt your property now, you know? And it ended up for me, you know? And,
what did they say? Yeah.
So I've been hunting it for like 3 years now. So
and that's cool. You make good friends with them too. Do you get them a gift card every year? Or what do you? Yeah.
I usually send. That's the only gift card I've ever gotten. But every year I usually try to give them a Christmas card or something like that. You know, and just or send a good Thanksgiving text, stuff like that. But he ended up actually being probably the coolest landowner I have right now. Like he's got this little field in his backyard. He lets me plow it up. I've planted food plots back there for the past couple of years. He's a really cool dude. I've took him some deer meat.
Get some veggies off that plot if you'd like, you know, plant some tomatoes out there for him or some cucumbers and shit.
Yeah.
So what do you think of like, you know, some of the platforms like Outdoor Access, and there's a lot of other ones, Land Trust. I think there's another one out of Chicago called Private Acre. What do you think of these like platforms as a service that are doing, you know, the day leases where I don't have to go ask for permission because they sign up with some company. Are you finding any success through some platforms like that? Are there any down by you that you're using?
I haven't. That's kind of like the thing where you like go in there and you can like lease the property for a weekend or whatever.
Hey, $50 for the weekend. Right. And I have it that weekend, but maybe someone else had it the weekend before or after or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never used any of it or anything. I've heard of people doing that. The lady that I was actually telling you about that had the 40 acres, she actually ended up running something like that on like a VRBO.
And yeah. She
put it on there as that. You could come hunt for a weekend or whatever, but I've never used that.
Interesting. She did straight on VRBO. That's fascinating. I'm surprised. You know, yeah. I figure, you know, why don't they just do that, right? But because it's not like their primary demographic, they probably like freak people out or something.
Yeah, definitely.
We We did that meme on OKS Hunter where the dude gets shot in the back, Andy Sandberg on that movie. I think it's 29 Palms or something like that it's called or whatever. And I just picture like that must be what they think, is someone just going to get shot on their property or something like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I actually had a guy tell me Saturday. I was like, I went through the whole spiel, asked him if we can hunt and everything, or if I could hunt. And he's like, honestly, I wouldn't care, but I have a school on the backside of my property, and you just never know when there's going to be 20-something kids walk through the woods. I'm like, all right, well, I'm deer hunting. I'm not kid hunting. That's what I wanted to tell.
Yeah. It's a lot of liability, though. I got to imagine I'd be like, no, because they don't know you. You know what I mean? Like, they don't understand the sport. Yeah. You know, and I hate to even call it a sport, but the hobby, whatever you want to call it, the lifestyle, et cetera. But
yeah.
It is. There's a county park that opened up deer hunting by us here in Wisconsin a couple years ago. And I went to, like, the town hearings for it. And people are, like, losing their shit, dude. They're like, are you going to shoot my dog? You're going to shoot my kids? What about they want to go sled? It's like, whoa. Bow hunting is, like, intimate. Like, no one's going to shoot your kid.
Yeah.
Like, now, maybe there's people that, like, will give hunting a bad name. Some dude shot a fucking horse. Well, someone's horseback riding on the horse. Like, I don't know what dipshit made that mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, excuse my language, but that was like, you're going to give all of us a bad name now.
Exactly.
Know your target and beyond, dude. But by and large, yeah, people, if they don't understand it, it's a really tricky concept for them to grasp where it's not gun hunting. I'm not going to shoot 300 yards away at something, or the arrow's not going to ricochet. You know, if I shoot a deer, it's going to be at 30 yards, and I'm pretty damn sure it's a deer when I'm shooting it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, it goes both ways, I guess. Like, I don't understand how they think like that. Like the landowner, you know, that I would actually.
If you're looking for an authentically gritty podcast about the lost art of trapping and the woodsmanship that goes into it, check out the OKS Trapper podcast on the OKS Podcast Network, hosted by Zach Hansen, the author of Turning Feral, A Modern Journey of Hunting, Trapping, and Living Intentionally in the Wilderness. You can find it on Spotify by searching OKS Trapper, or by visiting OKSHunter.com and looking at our podcast network lineup.
Mistake a kid for a deer or something like that, and then they don't understand my way of coming into it. You know what I mean?
As a hunter, I have two dogs, but because we just got a puppy. But my boxer, he's fun. He looks like a deer.
Yeah.
Anytime we're out and I'm like, no, you're wearing a blaze orange vest, buddy, because you look like you're, you know? Mm-hmm. So the brown and down mentality, someone gets brown and him in their scope and he will go down. I'd feel awful about it. So, you know, but usually you got to be mindful of that kind of stuff too. There's like signs up, someone's hunting this park or this is hunting season, you know, whatever, like that kind of stuff. But the perception that someone else has is just very different than what we know to be true, how this all works.
Yeah.
So you're going to go and transition now from some of the urban hunting you've been doing into more just like public land where you're going to get to some more open space. Tell me why the shift. Is it just you're sick of asking for permission or what's going on?
I mean, I'm still going to do like some suburban deer hunting and stuff like that, but I just want to get more into like some bigger woods and stuff, you know, just get to like, cause like where I hunt at now, you know, you got this small block and you can only do so much with it. You know what I mean? Like, I can follow a deer trail out, and I'm like, all right, where's this trail going to go? Is it headed to food? Is it headed to this? Headed to that? Well, then I'm walk 100 yards, I'm on the property line. You know, I can't really scout. I mean, I can, but I can't. I mean, I can look down on a map, you know, but you know how far that'll get you sometimes. I don't know. I just want to kind of venture out and try some different stuff. We turkey hunt a lot on public land on here close by the house. We got a couple of little WMAs and stuff like that, and we traveled a little bit this year to some other public land. And I don't know. I just think it'd be fun to kind of do it with deer too. And then my buddy Jonah, he actually runs a page called the Georgia Public Project. And that's about all he hunts is public land now. And I don't know. I think it'd be a lot funner. I mean, obviously not going to have
that's for sure.
A big deer, you know, but I don't know. I find my fun in hunting as finding a deer, tracking it down, scouting it, figuring out what exactly it's doing, and then once it pays off, I don't know, that's where I get my joy at and everything, you know. I mean, obviously a big deer is badass, that you can't really beat it, but I don't know, I feel like it'd be really fun to find a piece of land and really put the knowledge to it and walk it, scout it, do everything, you know. And then once you finally shoot one, it really pay off. And then Zach, we was talking about earlier, He was talking. Me and him talked a bunch about it too, and he kind of got me fired up about it a lot. So
those guys get a lot of people. By the way, you're talking about Zach Fairbaugh, who you just happenstance run into turkey hunting, and you guys end up filming each other. Which episode was it on, by the way?
I can't remember exactly what episode it was. It's kind of weird because the guy at work today was asking me about it, but it was under when we looked it up today. It was Tom Right Off the Roost or something like that in Georgia. I can't remember what episode it was, but it was one of the Georgia episodes. I think it says Tom Right Off the Roost if y'all want to watch it, but it was I think it's a 2-part video too. So
that's cool. That must have been fun.
Yeah.
No, but to that point, like you mentioned, like on a you know, small private sliver, you get what you get, and you can't really put up a fit because someone gave you permission, but that's not the whole picture. So you really are more happenstance hunting that way and hoping that those deer are just flowing through there. Or maybe they're bedding there, and if they're bedding there, it's really small. Then you got to be really strategic about how you're going to hit that property based on access and, you know, what the wind's doing and shit like that. But on public land, it's wide open, and so now you got to consider all of those things, like where are they feeding, where are they, you know, bedding, where are they getting to get their water from, where are they sending checking does and the rut. And now there's no boundaries necessarily. I mean, yes, there are, but bigger plots. So now you got to figure out how you're going to enter into that space and really figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's totally kind of a ball game. Whenever I was growing up, we hunted, you know, my dad had hunting clubs and stuff like that. Like, I was raised on bigger woods. So, and I don't know, now I just kind of stuck on these smaller spots. And I don't know, I just miss doing stuff like that. Just like taking off in a patch of woods and just scouting, you know, finding horn trees, scrapes, fresh signs, stuff like that, hanging stands wherever you want to, you know, like, I miss stuff like that. So I'm going to try to kind of ease into it this year and try maybe on the hometown WMA here and maybe a couple of others if we can try to. We went to Ohio public land, but
how'd that go?
Well, it was pretty sweet. It was like a last minute. My buddy John and I was telling you about the Georgia Public Project. They was already up there and they was seeing deer left and right. And it was on like a Wednesday or a Thursday or something like that. And he calls me and tells me, and I'm like, all right. So call my buddy Levi. I'm like, you don't go to Ohio tonight. And luckily for good friends, my buddy Levi was like, I mean, I guess if they're rutting and acting crazy as Jonah says. So we packed ship and hauled ass to Ohio, drove like, I think it was like 9.5 hours. We drove all the way there. We get there. We burnt our whole first day scouting. Could not find much sign while we was there until like the very end of the day. So we're like, all right, we'll just come here in the morning. We had a hell of a walk in there. Get all the way in there. As soon as I get set up in the stand, it starts pouring rain. I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, I was mad. Like, I was hunting out of a climber, heavy, packing all this shit in there. I'm trying to get up in the tree. I'm dropping stuff. I'm just like, it's just one of those mornings. You're just pissed off, you know? And then, like, so finally, it's just pouring down rain. I'm soaked, drenched. I climb down. I go to where my buddy Levi was hunting at, and I'm like, I was like, dude, we're getting down. I'm getting out of here. I'm not doing this. I'm just ill. Long story short, that's what I said. He's like, pretty much, he was on the same page with me. He was having the same morning I was. So we climb down, we get back to the truck, and we get like, I don't know, we had like a 30-minute drive to the hotel. We was going to kind of go and just dry out. We get back to the hotel, and I got sick as a dog, puking, just horrible sick. Well, I stayed the whole day, that whole night. So, and we was only there for 3 days until Sunday. And then, so pretty much I got to hunt 2 times and one of those was burnt. And then the last evening we was there, I told all them, I was like, dude, if deer walks out tonight, I'm probably going to shoot it no matter what it is. Like, all right. So I actually ended up shooting a spike while I was up there and I called my buddy John and told him I shot an Alabama 11 pointer. I shot that spike, so we at least got some meat out of the trip.
Never never pass an opportunity to make a memory and fill your freezer. That's what we say. Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. The only deer I seen out of the deer stand the whole time, so I was happy we pumped up. But
dude, anytime I see a deer, I get like overly excited. It's like I'm a kid all over again. Like literally every time I'm like, is this ever going to stop happening where I'm like freaking – it takes me just a second to calm down, no matter what it is. So for me, it could be, you know, a 170 class buck, or it could be a, you know, a spike buck, but the first sign of any deer, I'm like, oh, it's happening. You know, they're finally here. Like, finally, you know, whatever. But yeah, you get a glimpse of a big one and something real weird starts to happen. It's like, well, what do you really do here? You know, that's a shooter. So,
I got from shooters, but I get an adrenaline rush going down the road and I see a good deer sound on the side of the road. I'm like, turn the hell around.
Yeah, dude, I want to go watch it. I want to see what's, like you said, you want to study what that deer is doing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. To me, they're like mythical creatures. Like, what are the big ones doing? Where are they going? Where are they living? Why are they out here at this time? Like, reverse engineering everything I see about them to see if I can understand another one. I'm like, I always say it's like that M&M commercial with Santa Claus. Like, they do exist. You know, I'm like shocked every time. Yeah, me and my buddy took a canoe down a river last boat season, and we kicked up a couple deer on the way in. And it's legal in the state of Wisconsin to shoot from a non-motorized boat. So kayak, canoe, John boat, as long as there's no motor on that thing. And I don't know if trolling motor counts, but it's been a while since I looked into this law. So I was like, shit, dude, we might as well just shoot one right from the canoe if we can. And by the time, like, you know, we could get drawn back on something, they weren't having it at all. We thought we were being pretty stealthy. Well, then we turn this bend and we get into this oxbow that was bumping out, and a really, really wide rack. I don't know. It could have been a 10 or 12. It was a lot of points, very wide. And you just see him hauling ass out of there. And we're like, holy shit. So we were in the money. Like, we had the right idea of where do we want to be, when we want to be there, how it's all going to work. But we couldn't get in close enough. But he was pushed back by a bunch of public land hunters that were accessing it from a parking lot, pushing all these deer back to this oxbow. So we thought, well, let's take the canoe in and see if we get right on him. Well, we got two on him, and there wasn't like a good way to get to this spot. You know, it just wasn't going to happen unless you got a canoe in there. So that was fun, because then at least you know you're on the right track. When you get glimpses like that, you're like, oh man, we were thinking the right way, but we need to just fine tune our approach a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it's sweet too, hunting out of like a boat like that and everything. But
yeah, that's it. I like the adventure of all this stuff more than mostly anything. Like any uncharted trail, any like any time where they're, dude, even like if we dump the canoe, I prefer, not that I prefer that, but like there's a story there. You know, you're not going to forget those moments easily. Yep. And that's the stuff that I think, and I'm not going to go and, you know, tip a boat on purpose, but those are the kind of things that I look forward to happening, these kind of charted things that can take place when you're out there. So when you go to public land, yeah, more stuff's going to happen than when you're on like some small plot. And maybe, dude, I don't know, the people watching's got to be pretty good from a stand like that, like seeing, you know, John in his yard filling his bird feeder, cussing at the lawnmower, like that kind of shit's got to be pretty funny too. You probably hear a lot of shit.
I've seen some pretty funny shit go on from a deer stand the past few years.
They don't know you're there, you know, like, or the ones that, like, they even know you're there and they forget, they don't care.
Then the ones that see you, they're like, what are you doing here? Like, because this one plot, the piece that I was telling you about that I got that deer run on or whatever, I ended up getting it. City of Atlanta actually owns 100 acres that surrounds the whole backside of that property, and they have walking trails all through it. It's a park on the other side, but the wooded part has walking trails all through it. So, they're actually trespassing all the time, but they'll wander off that trail. That little opening up there, because it's a little grass field that I hunt in. Well, they see that little opening up there, I guess, sometimes, and they'll wander off the trail and they'll come up there pretty often, actually. I mean, I see them pretty good bit, and half the time I'll either get on my Instagram story or my Snapchat or something, I'll video, and every once in a while I may scare one or something like that, but you're just like, what the hell are you doing up there? Like, I'm deer hunting, like, here?
Yeah. I got permission. Yeah, dude, I've seen some, you know, I've hunted by some walking trails in public parks, state parks, by bike trail. I mean, I've been, you know, you get wind of some funny things and people don't know you're there. It's kind of, I feel a little eerie about it. I'm like, oh man, they just don't know I'm here. It's funny. It's a funny thing because you're such a, I love the idea of being like a ninja, but sometimes I creep myself out. I'm like, oh man, this is just kind of freaking weird. Like, I've had people that I've scared on accident. Like one dude was like foraging for mushrooms or something. And he walked, and I saw him coming forever because I thought, of course, it's a deer, right? No, it's a dude. And he's way off the fucking trail. I'm like, what are you doing out here, man? And he finally, I'm like trying to snap or whistle or something, not knowing. Finally looks up and he sees me, goes, oh, man. You scared me. I'm like, well, I was trying to get your attention, but sorry, dude.
Yeah, I didn't want to just scream.
Hey, you. Yeah. It's happened a couple of times. I had one guy like almost step on me. I was like, holy shit. He's like, you see a deer run over here? My son got one. I was like, I haven't seen shit.
Yeah.
I would have shot it too, you know, but.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's cool. That's exciting that you're going to transition to public, like, you know, or larger plots and yeah. kind of mix it in. I think that's a good 1-2 punch because you can burn a small property really quick. So you might want to save those to like, you know, end season. If you got camps that you said you're hanging, like maybe you just, you know, if you're picking something up, that's might, it might be worth hitting up later on. Because yeah. public, yeah. man, you have pressure is hard to deal with. Especially if Seek One is down there and they're like illuminating a lot of properties and things like that. And the hunting public, you know, those people watch that shit and they try to go where they're going.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. It's really blew up down there the past few years. Like the first year I got down there, I was like, all right, like I've got me a couple of spots, you know, like I got this little area to my own. Well, then it's like, you knock on this door and this guy's like, oh no, I let this guy hunt. You go down 3 or 4 more doors. No, I let this other guy hunt. I let this guy hunt. And then you're like, fuck, like how many people hunt down
yeah,
here?
Well, that's like, yeah. I hear that.
On and on and on. And then I actually, my first year down there, I shot that deer I was telling you about earlier, that 130-something inch acorn. And then later in that year, that was in September. And then in November, I shot one that was like 130 inches. That wide deer I sent you a picture of.
Yep.
And I shot him down there. And when I shot that deer, I had, I think it was like 4 or 5 different people message me and call me. And a couple of them I knew. And they was just like, where's you hunting at down there? I'm like, what do you mean? I've had pictures of that deer. One guy I actually worked with, he's like, I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, I didn't even know anybody hunted down there at the time. You know, I was brand new to it. Pretty much to that area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's blown up a lot. There's a lot of people.
I got my buck. A buddy of mine texts me. He's like, "Dude, I know where that tree is." I'm like, "Is this a joke? Are you serious?" He knew exactly where I was.
Yep.
He's like, "I didn't know that was public." I'm like, "Yeah, dude. Here's the." I sent him screenshots like the municipality, da da da, all this stuff I looked up with my buddy, and
yeah,
he's like, "Shit." He's like, "Man, there's some good deer back there. I've found some good sheds." I'm like, "That's awesome. Good to know." He's like, don't worry, I'm not going to hunt your spot, but, you know, I'd probably keep that one quiet. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm not planning on telling a lot of people. But you know, keep that in mind, I'm also the founder of the Where to Hunt app, so, like, people get really scared about telling me shit.
Oh, yeah.
I can't pull up anybody's spot, but.
Yeah. But it's like that deer that I was just telling you about that I killed, I took a Snapchat picture of when I finally got him in the bed of the truck or whatever, his main beam was sticking up over the bed of the truck, over the bed rail or whatever.
Yeah.
A kicker off of it about that big. Well, in the background, there was an old, like those old silver Airstream campers, you know? There was one of those in the background that sits in that guy's driveway. Well, in that driveway, you pull through a gate and then it goes down. There's a driveway that cuts to the right. There's one that goes straight and then there's one that goes left. Well, I hunt the straight one. Well, that's where that camper sits at. Well, I post that picture or whatever of that deer in the bed of the truck. And it isn't probably 15 minutes. I guess he's seen it on Snapchat. And this dude I used to hunt with like years ago. I haven't talked to him in probably 8 or 10 years, I'd say. Hadn't talked to him, but we was just friends on Snapchat for that long, I guess. I post that picture on my story, and he calls me. He's like, where do you hunt at down there off of so-and-so road? And I'm like, well, why? He's like, because I hunt down there too. He's like, I know where that camper's at. I'm pretty sure. He's like, is that off of so-and-so road? I'm like, yeah. Like, down this road? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're definitely hunting the same patch of woods. Where he's like, yeah, I knew that deer was down there. I just haven't been down there hunting or whatever. The landowner told me he was really cool about it or whatever. But
yeah, because sometimes it's just like a talk. People get excited that like,
yeah.
You know, cause maybe that affirms like, oh, shit. He's like, I was in the right area. That deer was there. Freaking cool. Like, he's probably happy for you and stuff. So sometimes it's not, the line of questioning isn't like interrogation or anything. It's just like, dude, that's freaking cool. People love in hunting. Like, I'll never forget my dad just, I don't know he listens, but the amount of time we would just stare at a map on the counter in the kitchen, looking at the Shawinigan Nicolay National Forest. I mean, like, this is a spot I got treed by the bear. This is the spot where I got that buck. Like, you can just stare at a map forever, man. And you're like, well, I wonder what's over here. I wonder what's over there. And so when you get someone that's in that area, it's like, hey, man, I know about that area too. Do you want to talk about that? It's like a book club without the book.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you read that chapter too? I want to talk about that with you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Some people, they'll talk to you about it and they're pumped up for you and stuff like that. And then
some people, they're jealous or something. I don't know. Underneath
me right there at that exact spot I'm talking about. I hunted a deer down there for 2 years and I put everything I had into him. I mean, that's probably the hardest I've ever hunted a single deer. I wanted to shoot that deer so bad. And a guy actually come in and it was his very first deer he had ever shot with a bow, with a gun, anything.
Very happy for him, but you're like, damn it.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. On the inside, I was like, oh my God, like 2 years straight, I've tried to track this deer down. I've never seen him on the hoof until a week ago. And then this guy comes in. He hadn't been hunting for like a month. And he shoots this thing. And he sends me a picture the next morning it was on a Friday morning. I was headed to work. I'd been hunting that whole week pretty much.
It's like someone stealing your girlfriend, man. That's what that feels like. That was my girlfriend. Like, what? Sorry, me to be happy for you.
It's just massive eight point. I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, like on the inside, I was pissed, but whatever. I mean, you can tell about pictures.
Yeah, and then eventually time passed and you're like, fine. But, you know, you're just like, damn it, you know? Yeah. What could I have done differently? Or like, what the hell? But, you know, that's it. There's a lot of luck in this game too, man. Like, you can try as hard as you want, and sometimes it will pay off, right? There's dividends there because you're learning a bunch and stuff. But, man, sometimes it's just the stroke of luck. Like the property I hunted last year, I think, honestly, like, I played a couple of cards, right? But I didn't fucking know what I was doing. Like, by and large, I didn't know there was any deer there. I was just going to throw a sit at it and make sure the wind was in my favor. And I got lucky, you know, and I got really lucky with the shot because, you know, I hit him in the femoral artery. If I didn't hit him there, it wouldn't have happened.
Trust me, that deer right there I shot last year off the ground and didn't even mean to. I was actually in there looking for a deer I'd shot the day before, and he come walking up on me. And luckily, I was still on my property, and he comes walking in chasing a doe or nudging a doe. And I grunted him off over, and he came in, and I shot him. So,
how many? Like, let's see the rack. What do you got on there? How many points? That's nice. I take that.
I got to get him to the taxidermy. Robert, if you're watching this, I will bring him to you tomorrow. I promise. He's a pretty good deer, just tall-tined, eight-pointer. He's a pretty good deer.
Yeah, that's great.
Shooting him off the ground or whatever, you know, with a bow.
Yeah, off the ground with a bow, that's like,
yeah.
I shot a doe off the ground 15 or 10 yards. It was real close.
Yeah.
My first bow deer ever on public, and it was a doe fawn, dude. I didn't know that until I shot the damn thing. I was like, and walked up on it from where I was sitting. She was uphill me a little bit, and I thought it was just a nice sized doe.
Yeah,
I was so freaking jacked to have an opportunity at something finally. And I walk up, and I'm like, oh, this thing's a baby, but it was awesome.
Yeah,
a couple people chase the baby deer. So we're just talking about how I got a baby deer.
That's good. Oh, that's Ben. We called him Bean. He actually came and helped us film this past weekend and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Zach James was saying he shouldn't give you so much shit at the gun shoot.
I didn't even see you could read the comments over here.
I can pop a couple on the screen or whatever, but yeah. And then Maine Outdoor Journal, FBM Maine Outdoor Journal, good eating. Yeah. No, I will say easy drag and good eating for sure. And then went on top of my I had a GMC Terrain at the time, so small little SUV, threw that on the roof, no big deal, you know. Definitely made for a nice little walk out. It would have been harder. But, you know, with the big buck, the one I got last year was, man, I don't know that I've ever been more out of shape coming out of COVID and then dragging a deer out of the woods. I thought my lungs were going to collapse. It was terrible. I've never been so out of shape in my life. My buddy's like, you okay? I'm like, no, man, I'm not doing okay. I'm like, dude. So I was like struggling pretty hard. I'd take a couple steps. I was like, man, I don't know how we're going to get this thing out of here. This is not going well for me.
Yeah.
A lot of work. So what's your okayest moment of field? Like what kind of embarrassing story do you feel comfortable sharing with us today?
Shoot, I don't know. I was trying to think of it when he told me that earlier, told me he was going to ask me or whatever, but I don't know. I've had some moments, that's for sure. I wish I could think of a really, really good one, but I know last year I had an okayest moment. I've been hunting a deer. I'd had pictures of him all summer, pretty much. He's probably about 140-inch nine-pointer down there. And I was pretty into him. I wanted to chase him and pursue him the whole year. You know, I told my buddy Levi and Charlie, I was just like, look, I'm gonna study just him, and that's it. I'm gonna, if every piece of permission I get, I'm gonna go after him. I put everything into him. I was just gonna study that deer. Well, I've done everything right, you know. Well, one evening he finally comes in. I finally see him on the hoof for the first time. He comes in. He gets to like 15 yards. He's facing right at me. I draw back on him. He goes behind this little bush. I let back down on him because he goes behind that little bush or whatever. So I'm like, God almighty, I'm freaking out. You know, he goes to step out behind this bush. And I had like five different bucks come in that evening. It was summertime. It was a bachelor group come in. And he actually comes back out from behind that bush about that time. I go to draw back. Well, I didn't know it. And I had like a little, it's like a four-pointer standing under me to my right. And I never even knew he was there. And about the time I get like half draw, he blows, busts every deer in the from 100 yards around probably. He just blew the woods down. Well, he takes off, and that's the last time I've seen him for a long time. And then, so that was a pretty rough moment for me. I was pretty butthurt about that one. I mean, I put in a bunch of dang time on him and trying to figure him out, and then that happened. And then that Ohio trip that I was telling you about, when the day we got back, I got pictures of him again on through my cell camera or whatever. He'd come back, and he was in the daylight. So we got back that night from Ohio. The next morning, I went and hunted, and I actually rattled him in to 30 yards, stopped him, shot. When I stopped him, he looked right at me. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna put it just a little bit low. Maybe he'll duck into it, you know, because he's alert. You know, he's looking right at me. Never moved a muscle. I shot him right in the elbow pretty much. I'm probably that far above his hoof and drilled him. And he ran off. He made it. He made it through season. I had pictures of him after season and everything, but I don't know. I haven't seen him this year. I've run cameras like crazy on that side.
Still not sure what happened, eh?
Nah, but I guess that's what you'd call an okayest moment for me. I mean, I'm sure I've got a million more, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a million and one for sure. I think there's, you know, the stuff that, I mean, people don't see that should happen. So unless you tell someone, they don't know. I remember one time, this is when I was a kid almost, or young or whatever, and, you know, big old stand on my back, rifle in hand, blaze orange blob. I'm in like a big blaze orange onesie, you know, it's cold, man. And I'm walking, I see this log, and I don't know. I'm like, in my mind, inside of like the fraction of a second, I'm walking through the woods. I'm like, I'm going to step on this log because I want to, because it looks like it'd be a fun. I don't know what the fuck. Well, of course I step on it and it was slippery as shit. So I like feet above face, fall backwards, smash, you know, on this log. And then my stand got like stuck. So I was like a turtle on my back. My stand stuck and wedging this log and I couldn't get out. My gun like hit me in the face. I'm like staring straight up and I'd like shimmy my arms out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, good thing no one saw that. That would have been embarrassing. I was probably there for like a good 5 minutes, you know, just like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
how I stand and seeing someone go through that, you'd be like, oh, is that guy okay? Like, yeah. Do you need help?
Oh, yeah. That's like that. Stuff like that gets it made bad. Like, just embarrassing moments, stuff like that. And then, like, that, when all that happened with that deer, it killed me. I was just like, I've never cried over a deer, but that morning right there when I hit him low and I knew it, I was just like, oh my God, I want to just start squalling like a baby. But
yeah, you just don't know when the next opportunity is going to rise. So you think like, that's it. That's the opportunity. And I blew it, you know, and it's like the Billy Madison scene, you blew it.
Yeah. You just put so much time into something. And then it's like, you, I don't know. I just get hard on myself sometimes, especially like that late in the season. Cause that was like late November. And I'd already put, I don't know how many hours into just that one stand hunting just that deer. And then it's like, all right, here you go. No, I was like, you've got to be shitting me.
Well, now, are you married or anything like that yet?
Yeah, I'm married with two kids.
You got two kids? So you just seem younger. Maybe it's the accent. But, like, you know, then you understand. Like, your wife's like, did you freaking kill something yet? Are you done with this for the season? You're like, I wish I was. This is getting hard. And they're like, oh, okay, let's talk about how. I'm like, but no, I'm serious. I want to be with the kids too. And it starts to get really taxing on the whole family come the end of the season. So it's really hard.
Oh, yeah, trust me. I know for sure. Like, I don't know. Every time you come in the door, it's like, well, it's tonight. And then it gets to the point, like, towards the end of the season, they don't even ask no more. It's just like, all right.
Yeah. Just go. There's like, just go. Just go. Like, all right, I'll go. And I'm all happy. And they're like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So yeah, kid number three coming this September. It's gonna be difficult. Yeah, I'm gonna feel I'm gonna feel more guilty.
Yeah. Deer season on the way. What'd you say? You got a new puppy, three kids.
New puppy 2-ish weeks ago. I think we've had her for like a week and a half or 2 weeks or something. Boxer pup. She's 9 weeks old. Now we've got her at 8 weeks. So yeah, about a week, maybe 10 weeks. Baby coming first week of September, probably.
Yeah.
It's gonna be wild. Hopefully we get this new podcast studio built that we're working on. I got a buddy help me do. He's and helping's relative. Like he's doing all of the work. I'm barely helping. So it's getting further along. We just got all the electrical stuff run. All the boxes are up and stuff. So we got to get an electrician in here to get the breaker set up or whatever they got to do, and then carpet ceiling, and then I'll do all the fine tuning stuff. I'll get it painted and all that jazz. But
there you go.
Gotta move quick because this room is the new baby room. So I'm taking up space that's not mine.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So it's good stuff. No, thanks for hanging out on the show tonight. Well, I think you've listened to a couple episodes. We produce the same night that we record. So this will be in podcast land this evening. I'll probably get to it again later. I'll go down, eat some dinner, put the kids to bed, all that stuff, and come back up and get her done. So for everyone that tuned in, we appreciate all of our listeners and, hanging out with us. And Chase, thanks for hanging out with us. Where can people find you and what you got going on social channels so they can take a look at some of your stuff?
Yeah, sure. I plan on posting a ton of videos this year. I'm going to try to post them like weekly, maybe how the hunt goes that week and stuff like that, whether it's success or not. So.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. It's C Turner 38 is your main one that I see. And then you got FamTrad Media is the other one. So, and it's a sweet logo too. Who did that for you?
Actually a guy in my hometown did, Kerry Bell. He owns like a little, he does like wraps, he does t-shirts, hats and logos, stuff like that. He actually did it for me. He's actually done two for me before. And then he's done some stuff for my dad also. So.
Hey, did a good job, man. That's nice.
Yeah, I kind of drew it up. I'm not an artist at all, but I kind of drew a half-assed sketch and then sent it to him. He's like, look, this is kind of what I want. And then he put it to life. So.
Yeah, it's cool. I dig it. Well, stay in touch, man, and hunting season's right around the corner. When is it open up for you guys in Georgia there?
I haven't looked this year. It's always the second weekend of September. I want to say it's like the 12th or the 14th this year. I don't know for sure. So we'll be melting the barrel off a shotgun at some doves and then for the pep rally, and then the next weekend we'll be chasing deer wide open.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, have a good night. We'll hang out with you for 2 minutes and debrief. Everyone else that tuned in, thanks so much. We're going to end the live broadcast and – this will be in podcast land tonight, like I said. So have a good night, everybody.
What's up, everyone? Anthony Heller here with Deer Vane, and this week's tip of the week is related to trail cameras. A lot of people like to set trail cameras over the summer and leave them for a month or 2 months or so and then pick them up right before season and see what they got. Sometimes that works. I'm not saying that's wrong. But also, if you think about it, everything, most media says around deer and deer hunting, most articles say that deer are in a pattern over the summer. They have bedding areas they like, they have food sources they like, and they go to and from those food sources. So if you were to set a camera up and leave it for, let's just say you set it in July and pull it in September, and you don't check it at all, you never look at it, that's great. You're leaving the place unpressured. But you might not have a single buck on that camera the entire time. I've done that before, and it kind of sucks. You're like, man, you go out there and you're expecting something great, and what you had the first week is what you had every other week after that. A doe group with two fawns or something like that. So my point being is that if you're dropping trail cameras over the summer, I would certainly actually check on them at least every four weeks, if not every 3 weeks, just to see if they're even pulling any bucks on them. Because if all you're getting is doe groups and you're looking for a shooter buck, a mature buck that you want to try to hunt early season, he's probably just not using that trail or he's not using that area. And that comes down to, setting your cameras first on the food source, finding out if there is a good buck on that food source, and then narrowing down to the trails for his entry and exit route that you can hunt. and working your way backwards from this food source rather than going straight to the trails. However, on public land, the food sources can be pretty far and few between. And if you set trail cameras on there, they have a higher likelihood that they're going to get stolen. So lots of things to think about there, but the big overall picture is don't leave your trail cameras for a month or 2 months out in the summer and just set them and forget it, unless you know they're good trails, because odds are if you don't have a buck in the first few weeks, you're not going to have one in the next few weeks. All right. Hope it helps, everyone.